us. We pray you'd bless Pastor Rao. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through him right now, and we would be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you, praise team. Please be seated. We're going to be in Malachi 3:10, but first I want you to turn to Luke 19 and Matthew 19. Luke 19 and Matthew 19. This is 3:10 All In Sunday, and we're talking about money. The Bible devotes about 2,350 verses to the subject of money. Jesus talked twice as much about money as he did about faith and prayer. He taught more about money than he did about heaven or hell. In the Synoptic Gospels, which is what we refer to Matthew, Mark, and Luke as, there's one of six verses that deal with money. And of the 29 parables that Jesus gave, 16 of them deal with money. So any preacher that refuses to talk about money is refusing to talk about something that Jesus talked about and taught about and preached about probably more than any other subject. It is very important to deal with money. And we're in, first of all, in Luke 19. You remember the story of Zacchaeus. The kids sing about Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man and got up in the tree, and Jesus passed by, and of course he said, "Come down, Zacchaeus, I must abide at your house." And Zacchaeus repented and turned to the Lord. And Zacchaeus said to Jesus that he was going to give half of his wealth to the poor. And he said if he took something wrongly from anybody, he was going to pay them back four times what he had taken. And Jesus' response to that is very interesting. He didn't say, "That's great." He didn't say, "That's a good idea, Zacchaeus. Great job. I'm proud of you." Instead, he said in verse 9 of Luke 19, "This day is salvation come to this house." He said, "What you're saying about money is evidence that you have really trusted me as your personal Savior. This day salvation came to your house." Now, the counterpart of Zacchaeus, I think, is the rich young ruler who came to Jesus asking what good thing he could do to be sure of heaven. And Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He said, "Well, I've kept all these commandments from my youth all the way up." And then Jesus said, "Well, one thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor." And then he said, "Come follow me." And the rich young man that Jesus loved went away sorrowful. Sharp young man walked sadly away, and some might say, "Well, Jesus blew it. That wasn't a very good soul-winning experience." You know, if we'd have approached a sharp, wealthy young man like that, we might have said, "Well, just believe in Jesus and you can be saved." But Jesus sent him away sorrowful because he wouldn't respond to his telling him that he should sell all he had and give to the poor. And if we'd have had the new convert, we'd have had him believe, and then we would have written about him in our publications. He would have been featured on Christian talk shows. He would have been invited to share his testimony at conferences. He'd be featured in books, especially if he gave generously 10% of his income. He might have set up a trust fund and kept the principal for himself and given all the interest to the poor, and we would have thought, "Great job. Good guy." The disciples were amazed when Jesus allowed this sincere, sharp, hard-working young man to walk away. Why in the world would Jesus do that? What did he know about him that wasn't so obvious to the disciples who were there? What he knew was that this young man was trusting in his money. And because he was trusting in his money, he could not trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior unless he got rid of his money. And he wasn't willing to do that. Another place Jesus said, "How hardly shall those who trust in riches enter into the kingdom?" If you look at Matthew 19, verse 23, Jesus commented to his disciples about this situation. Jesus said to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." There's obviously a powerful connection between our attitude toward money and our ability to have a genuine relationship with the true and living God. Let me give you two scenarios. Just pretend like you don't have any correlation with these from the Bible. The first scenario is a widow. She's pretty poor. She comes to you and she said, "I believe Jesus wants me to give everything I have in the offering today. All my money." What would you tell her? How would you react? Then another case, another sharp entrepreneur comes to you and he says, "I've been working really hard. My business is prospering even in these down economic times. And I don't know what else to do, but I'm going to have to get rid of the factories I've got. I have to build new ones so that I can accommodate the business that I have. And then I'm going to be able to have some free time. I'll be able to get some golfing in, live a little more comfortably in my retirement. And certainly I'll tithe later on." What kind of advice would you give to the widow? What kind of advice would you give to the entrepreneur? Look at Mark's gospel now, would you? Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Let's think about the widow. I'd have a hard time agreeing with the widow, wouldn't you? Put it all in. But she said, "God impressed me to do that." A lot of times I've had people say, "God wants me to do this, God wants me to do that." And I'll say, "Wait a minute. God doesn't want you to do something contrary to His Word, contrary to wisdom." But in this situation, she was right on target. Mark 12, 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." She apparently had her priorities right. Jesus commended her, amen? Jesus noticed her. Did you ever think about the fact when the offering plate came by about 5 minutes ago or so that Jesus is watching? He is. It's part of our worship. You ought to put a smile on your face when those nice-looking treasurers and ushers come by. Not just because they're nice-looking, but because you're getting an opportunity to show your love to Jesus. You know, she's kind of like the widow at Zarephath. You remember Elijah came to her and said, "Fear not." Desperate situation, didn't have anything left. Make a little cake first. You've got some meal here. Make a cake with that oil and meal that you've got for me. Give it to me first. And after, make for thee and for thy son. She thought, that's it. She's going to die. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake to Elijah. So those two widows were taken care of because they gave to the Lord. They put God first, and God said, I'll supply your need. He's got riches and glory, amen? He can supply all of your need. He can multiply your seed sown. What about the entrepreneur? You probably recognize the case of the rich man who was a farmer in the Bible. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, my barns are full. I've got no room to bestow my goods. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, you've got much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But in Luke 12:20, Jesus said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God, doesn't have the Lord as his priority. Who do we point to as examples in our contemporary Christian culture today? We point to Christians who profess to follow Christ and they're wealthy. They're highly successful. We point to them and we say, now there's an example. Look at that. That wealthy man, that sharp guy, that guy there, he's a Christian. We're so proud when celebrities are Christians. But what does Jesus do? He points to the widow in the back that works hard and still tithes and faithfully serves the Lord Jesus. And he said, there's an example. There's an example. We ought to be like Jesus. Amen? You know, the church gives an account of your stewardship. And in the mail, I think Saturday, the amount of your giving for the past year was sent out. And you'll be getting that. But think about the fact that soon you'll be told by Jesus, give an account of thy stewardship. Give an account of the money that I entrusted to you. My money, it's all mine, you're mine. Give an account of how you used it and of what you did with it. And again, remember, the Lord watches how we give. The Bible says that he sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. You ought to underline that word, how. You know, when you're a parent, you want your kids to have a good attitude when they do something. If they wash the dishes and dry the dishes, you want them to stop fighting. You don't want them to mumble under their breath. Amen? Amen. You want them to do it with a good spirit. Amen. Jesus watches not just what you give. He watches what you have left over. And he watches how you give. He watches the spirit. You're not to do it grudgingly, and you're not to do it of a necessity. You're not to do it in either way. C.S. Lewis once called God the transcendental interferer. The transcendental interferer. Our text is Malachi 3:10. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and that there may be meat, that the supply of my house may be fulfilled. And he said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I think there are at least five elements to God's 3:10 all-in challenge. Malachi 3:10. First, he says, bring you all the tithes. Give as you gather together. Bring ye all the tithes. Lay by yourself in store, 1 Corinthians 16 says. Come like you have and bring them to the house of God. If you're not able, that's understandable. If you're sick, that's understandable. If you're in a situation where you're forced to work, you can't get out of it, that's understandable. But if you're at all able, you ought to come to the house of God. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I'd like to, if on Sunday morning at 11:15, if Jesus comes back, It'd be good to be in the house of God. Amen? It'd just be a good thing. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, that's good. I like that. When you say amen, it's kind of like sick 'em. Bring ye all the tithes. Then he says, I think he's saying, if you bring them, all of them, you give cheerfully. Do it with a cheerful spirit. Not grudgingly. 2 Corinthians 9:7 said, not grudgingly. I told you the story before of a mother who gave her little girl $1.25. She said, now, honey, I want you to give one of these to Jesus and you can keep the other when you go to church today. Well, after church was over, she said, well, which did you give to the Lord Jesus? She said, well, I was going to give the dollar, but the preacher said we're to give cheerfully. And I figured I could give the quarter more cheerfully than I could give the dollar. So I gave the quarter. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter. Somebody said, it's not what you do with a million if fortune should e'er be your lot, but what you're doing at present with the dollar and quarter you got. That's good. Give cheerfully, not grudgingly. Give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. And not of necessity. Oh, I got to do this again. I got to give a tithe. Look, all I got. No. Give with a heart that says, I'm not going to give grudgingly. I'm going to say, Lord, this is a way, even if it's sometimes a sacrifice, this is a way I can show I love you. I prove the sincerity of my love in my attitude and giving. Not of necessity. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. God says, I'll take care of you if you put me first. I don't want to be second. I want you to be second. There's a neat website. It's called I Am Second. You ought to check it out if you got internet access. I Am Second. Martin Luther said, take a look at your own heart and you'll soon find out what's stuck to it and where your treasure is. It's easy to determine whether hearing the Word of God, living according to it, and achieving such a life gives you as much enjoyment and calls forth as much diligence from you as does accumulating and saving money and property. Most people don't take it with them. That's another wise saying from me. I gave you one before, 10 out of 10 people die. That's wise. Full of wisdom up here. And most people do not take it with them. You got to lay it up ahead. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus said we should lay it up ahead. Stock market doesn't affect it. When they print more money, it's not a problem. It's already up there. It's safe. Amen? It's safe. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I believe in storehouse tithing, the house of God. That was the tabernacle, then it was the temple, and today the institution is the house of God. So give through the house of God. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store according as God hath prospered him. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. I read an interesting study about people who gave to media ministries, particularly television ministries, and how the money was used versus money that was given through local churches. And the study determined that the monies that were given through the local church were doubled in their effectiveness and in their usefulness comparatively to monies that were given to those TV ministries that people gave to. And I won't bore you with the details and the statistics, but I thought that was an interesting survey. We ought to give through the house of God. We've got a budget. We'll be talking about that in a couple of weeks. We've got a missions budget. And we've got a responsibility collectively together to meet the needs of our local church. Amen? that there may be meat in mine house. That's what he says next, that there may be meat in mine house, that the lights can go on. I think we've got beautiful lights. It's nice to see them burning. Amen. It's nice to see the preacher get some money so he can give some money too. His wife can have some whatever she wants. You thought I was going to meddle, didn't you? No, I know better than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care of oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown, talking about preachers, if we pastors, preachers, have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things, your physical things? Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. If you wanted to read the other passage, 1 Timothy 5:17, it's in your notes. You could look at it later. But give to meet the needs of the church. And I'm thankful that this church has been faithful in the giving so that I've been able to be supported. And I'm thankful for that. But I believe in tithing, and I tithe too. You could ask the treasurers. And I try to give a little more. And I think all of us see the need to do that. And then give to prove you trust your Heavenly Father. Jesus says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Prove me. God's supply won't cease until you run out of room to receive any more. 2 Kings 4:6. The Lord will stretch your supply. Many times that's how he does it. You won't have as much outgo. And you won't have, like Haggai says, money that you put into a bag with holes. Did you ever feel like that? You got a bag with holes in it. Well, you put the Lord first, and he'll make sure the holes are sealed up. That old clunker might run another 100,000. You know, you might not get sick as much. You might have better buys on food. You might be able to get some angel food ministry help. We're gonna get that in place here pretty soon. So you can buy food at half price. I think that's a good deal. I'd like that. How about you? If it's good food, amen? Give to prove you trust your Heavenly Father. 2 Kings 4:6, this is the disciple of Elijah. Elisha said to this widow woman, this Shunammite who'd become a widow when her preacher husband died, he said, go out and get a bunch of vessels, and this barrel of oil that you have, it'll last until you get all your vessels full. So she went out and borrowed out a few, and she kept pouring out that oil, and every time she'd pour it out, there's more in there. She'd pour it out in this vessel and that vessel and that vessel. And finally she ran out of vessels. There's just no room to receive it. And guess what? The oil stayed. It stopped. That's what Jesus said. That's what Malachi 3:10 said. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll open your windows of heaven, and that's when rain comes down. I'll pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You'll get more than you can handle. I like that. That's pretty good. Amen? And that's why I want you to write on the back of your card, if you take the 3:10 challenge, that I'm going to prove the Lord, write out how he blesses you and keep track of his blessings. I think the Lord would appreciate that if we'd acknowledge him for what he's done in our lives. Amen? If we keep track of the blessings that he gives to us. Somebody said we'd all like a reputation for being a generous giver, but we'd all like to buy it cheap. I think that's probably true of many. But generosity is never a waste. It's never a waste to be generous. Proverbs 22:9 says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. Acts 20:35, the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders quoted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I've showed you all things, how that laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, finish it with me, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You believe that? Sure you do. So let's practice it. It's more blessed to give. You get a blessing in your heart. You have more joy in your life. You have more satisfaction in your life when you do what Jesus said. It's not just hearing it. It's not just studying it. It's not just understanding it. It's obeying. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I'll love him. And I'll manifest myself. I'll reveal myself to him. I want that. Don't you want to see the Lord work in your life? Don't you want to see God prove himself real? Don't you want your family to see that God is real? Don't you want your kids to be raised in a home where they realize that God is real? Well, let's prove the Lord. Let's not just in finances, but finances is foremost. It's uppermost in our proving the Lord. Someone wrote, "Leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve to a guest, and yet we serve them to our Lord, who deserves the very best. We give to him leftover time, stray minutes here and there, leftover cash we give to him, such few coins as we can spare. We give our youth unto the world, to hatred, lust, and strife, and then in declining years, we give to him the remnant of our life." An attractive young adult whose life is dedicated to the Savior is very endearing, because a young, attractive man or woman who's dedicated to Jesus Christ is very rare. We give our youth to sin. We give our youth to pleasure. But I'm so proud of the teenagers we've got here that are giving themselves to Jesus. The young people who are serving in Awana and working with others and ministering. Amen? Give them a hand. There's something very endearing. You know, I just, some of you heard this story, but when I first got married, I had a Roman Catholic fiance and led her to Christ and shipped out. And I'm gone for almost a year. She's got no church. She knows nothing. She's ignorant about the Bible. She's smart in many ways, but in that regard, she was not educated at all. She was a babe. That's why we have a discipleship class that Chris DeGray is available to teach at 9:45 for those who are newer in the Lord. And he's excellent at his teaching, and the class is superb, and you need to get grounded in the faith. Well, Kathy didn't get grounded. She tried one church when I went to see, and the church didn't preach the gospel. And so I'd write her letters about how I was growing in the Lord and getting excited about the Lord, and she'd just right over her head. And what was I getting at anyway? Oh, I came back from my Mediterranean cruise, and what's funny about that?
You were in the Navy.
I was in the Navy, yeah. I came back from my cruise. I knew I was in the Navy. I knew that. And, you know, she met me. Can I tell them how you met me at the airport? She met me at the airport. In a pair of hot pants, smoking a cigarette. I thought, oh no, what am I into here? Well, this is going to be hard. And then we talked a little while, and she said, "I don't know whether I want to do this. I don't know whether I can handle what you're expecting, you know." And it was hard for a while, because she didn't understand. She was a new Christian, and yet she was just very, very new in the Lord, stunted in her growth, and didn't have an opportunity to grow. And we had a tough time. It was hard for her. It was hard for me. And then that's why it's good to marry somebody that loves Jesus already and has a little bit of growth in their life. And I don't have any regrets about marrying my wife, but it took a while for her to get understanding. And you know, the point I'm getting at is this. How did it happen? How did she turn around and really get dedicated to Jesus? I'll tell you how it happened. A young, attractive girl who was going to the church that we were going to in Virginia Beach when I was stationed at Norfolk, was holding a little home Bible study. And she invited Kathy and her sister and some other girls to come. And this young woman was so endearing, so attractive, and so sweet, and so excited about Jesus Christ that God just turned her heart and her sister's heart back to the Lord through that woman. Wasn't that a blessing? And she came home that night, and I could see it in her eyes. I could just see it. I said, praise the Lord. This is awesome. It's like you got saved again. But you know, God is able to work through our young people, through our young adults, if they'll be dedicated to the Lord. There's nothing more endearing than a life of someone who's dedicated to the Lord. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8 says, or verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:24, let's flip back there, and we're done. Proverbs 11:24, the Bible says in that verse, there is that scattereth. I like to think of Johnny Appleseed. There is that scattereth. He's talking about money. He's talking about giving, about generosity. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet or fit. There is that's not scattering. Then he says this, but it tendeth to poverty. That's putting it into a bag with holes. If you're not generous with the Lord, if you're not prioritizing the Lord as a Christian, you're putting it into a bag with holes. It'll tend to poverty. You'll never get ahead. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Read the next phrase with me out loud. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You want to be blessed? Prove God. What are you doing in your life that shows the reality of God? How are you demonstrating the reality of the Lord in your life? I would contend that one of the first things to do is to begin tithing, honoring the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. The tithe is the Lord's. All the tithe is the Lord's. Give according to your income, said Peter Marshall, lest God make your income according to your giving. So let's take God's 3:10 all-in challenge today. Amen? Amen? Will you do it? I know many of you say, I already do. Well, just reaffirm your tithing and giving as the Lord leads you beyond that to missions. I hope you do. And if you haven't made that commitment yet, start it out today. I'd like us to bow our heads before the Lord for just a moment. And let me ask you to make that commitment. You say, I'll tithe, I'll trust the Lord, and I'm willing to say it openly by raising my hand as a testimony. For the next 3 months, I will tithe, God helping me, all of my income. I'll give 10% back to the Lord, acknowledging that He owns it all. And if that's your resolve, would you join me in raising your right hand? Would you do that all over the auditorium? Raise your right hand. Many hands are up. Amen. Prove me now. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Prove me now, God says. So let's prove Him. Amen. And as God blesses you, check off the weeks as you tithe on that insert, and then write down the testimonies of God's providing in your life. Now, it does no good to tithe if you haven't first given your own self to the Lord. And that happens when you get saved, when you stop trusting in yourself, you stop trusting in money, you start trusting exclusively in Jesus Christ. He won't share His glory with another. You cannot get to heaven by trusting a little bit of this and a little bit of that and mostly the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to trust Him exclusively. He'll not share His glory with another. He'll not give credit to anything or anyone else as far as your entry into heaven. He's the only way. You've got to trust Him. He died in your place and paid for your sin and rose again. And if you'll trust Him today, you will be saved. But you've got to put aside other trust. You've got to put aside all other confidences because God's rejected them. He's rejected your religion. He's rejected your giving. He's rejected your self-effort. All of those things that you could compare to Jesus, He's rejected. And the only thing He'll accept, the Father will only accept, Jesus Christ. Will you receive Him today? Will you say yes to Him? Will you bow your head right now and say, Lord Jesus, I receive You and only You as my basis of hope and heaven. Please wash me with Your blood. Come into my heart and save me. I believe You rose again after You paid for my sin. And I thank You for saving me. I trust You and You alone. If that's the prayer of your heart, you only need to pray that prayer once. But if that's the prayer of your heart today, would you raise your hand as a testimony and say, Preacher, I'm trusting Jesus. Here's my hand as a testimony. I'm receiving Him. God bless you. I see one. Someone else. Slip it up, put it down. Anyone else? I know most have already received the Lord. Father, we pray now that You'd work in this time of decision. I thank You for the faith that's been exercised in those who have joined me and committing to tithe. I pray that Your blessing would rest upon us, that we would demonstrate the proof of Your life and Your blessing and Your supply through us. Bless this one who's prayed and received the Lord Jesus. Help us today to walk with You and prove the sincerity of our love back to You. In Jesus' name.